This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do what a lot of people do. Come to Buffalo, leave, and then come back.
Yeah, you know, I have definitely talked to a lot of people who have done the same thing. It's a little surreal, to be honest. I think when you leave this market, it does have a little bit of a magnetic pull.
Yeah.
It's such a special place, great people, great place to live. I think in the back of my mind, I always wondered what it would be like to come back, but I never thought it was potentially going to be a reality. But when this opportunity presented itself, and I met with Terry and talked about what it could be and the opportunities for both teams and the future of Buffalo, it was too big of an opportunity to pass up, but I couldn't be happier to be back. It's been incredible so far.
It's so great.
Yeah.
And do you live out in Orchard Park?
Is it? I am there,
yeah. South Town? Yeah. All you Bills people stay out in the South Towns.
Well, you know, not just Bills person, so I'm spending at least 3 days a week here in the city.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
Yeah, and
that's
I'm enjoying my time at the arena. It's been interesting because the Bills, they're completely different properties.
Yeah.
You know, I've had experience working across both in the past, the arena business, the stadium business, and been really impressed by what I think we can do here in downtown Buffalo.
So from your perspective, do things feel different here in the city? I mean, I'm not talking about with the team, but just sort of like the regional energy, does it feel different or the same? Or
it feels different. Yeah. I think there's like a real concerted effort to focus on what we can do long-term for this market. I know that's what we're focused on, the building. Like obviously, everybody wants to win games, and I think what Kevin and Lindy are doing with the team is great. We've dug ourselves out of a pretty deep hole to start the season, and playing very competitive hockey right now. But what I'm focused on is the performance of the property. Mm. And, you know, you've got 41 Sabres games. You've got 10 Bandits games. This week's a great example. You know, we have a game tonight.
Yep.
We have an A-list comedian coming on Saturday. A couple weeks ago, we had Justin Timberlake. How do we create activity and bring some inertia to downtown Buffalo? And it goes well beyond the team. Can we program that building 150-plus nights a year and then watch some of the economic development grow up around that facility? And that's what it'll take. I don't know if there's any building that's going to bring more people in on a consistent basis than that arena. So how do we make sure it's programmed as many nights a year as possible, and how do we look at what the long-term future of that building is going to be?
And it's such a key part of downtown. And I think when we talk to a lot of business leaders about, particularly ones that are located downtown, the struggle that center cities are having, that we've got to do a better job programming. And quite honestly, this is one of the reasons why we're going into 79 Perry and trying to create a place for a reason for people to want to be together and to hang out and make it cool and fun and really set an energy in that space. So we'd like to think we're a part of your puzzle pieces.
Well, I know there's definitely mind share. I know when I came down and I, you know, toured the arena and I walked into 79 Perry and I looked around, it's a spectacular building, right? It's a great spot in that little cobblestone district. And I thought, this is ours? We own this? And, you know, we have a bunch of Sabres employees there and it's an incredible space. So, you know, what's gratifying to me or exciting to me is that you have the same vision. You saw that property, you realized it was a great place to be. The opportunity to bring more businesses and more people into that location, so proximate to downtown, into the arena, is really a perfect fit. You know, when we started talking about this, this was important to us as an organization. I had the conversation with Terry and ownership, and I said, we need these guys here. This is the exact tenant we need in this building, so we needed to make this deal happy, and I'm really happy that it did.
Yeah, and you were such a big help. And it was a complex deal because it was Labatt space, mm-hmm. and they still were under, so we had to actually negotiate two leases together, and it was, you were really helpful in sort of getting
it. Yeah, complex, but worth it. We needed you guys there. It's just step one. Like, this is a process. We did a lot of things at the arena this year, but I've told everybody, this is phase one of what we're doing. I think you coming in is, you know, I think further illustrates the potential downtown and around that building. So it's great to have you there.
Well, you know, there's really a little core of sort of economic development there with the governor's office and ECIDA and ESD. Like, there's a lot of energy and synergy even just with that. But I think what we're going to bring to it are all these people who are going to be in and out of that space. And it's a great space because of the access to parking and getting people in and out and to the rail. So we were just so excited that you wanted us and that we were able to work out a deal. So
yeah, and you know this, and I think I want all the members to know this too. We want the arena to be an extension of your office. So any way we can facilitate that, we're interested in doing.
Yeah, exactly. And we think it's going to be spectacularly exciting to open. Well, and I didn't mention this, but I think we're looking probably February by the time we actually get in there at post construction. So yeah, so we're
welcome
very
to the neighborhood.
Thank you. Can't wait to get there. So talk a little bit about your vision for the arena. Let's talk, because you know that building has been around for a bit and probably needs some help. What do you hope to achieve there and with the arena?
30 years. Look, it's still, you know, you probably hear people say this a lot. There's great bones. You know, I was in the arena business for 10 years in Charlotte. When I got down to Charlotte, it was right after the market crash, and it was in 2009, and Charlotte's a banking town, so it was devastated. There was nothing going on. People were fleeing the market in a lot of ways. The arena in Charlotte became the catalyst for growth. We invested in it, we programmed it, and things started to spring up around it. So I've seen this model work. So ultimately, that's what we want to do. You saw some of the changes we made this year. Obviously, put a new roof on the building. Yeah. Not the most exciting thing, but it's a foundational aspect of that facility. Brought the new video board and scoreboard.
Why, we couldn't have had an open air hockey arena?
Yeah. I mean, well, we'll talk about that. We do want to have a couple of those games again. But brought the new video board in, which people were excited about. Made some other changes around the building. Did some things for our season ticket holders. But again, describe it as phase one. We're looking at what's the long term vision for that facility. We've started that process already. So it takes a few years to determine how it's going to play out, but the goal is to do something every year and then something more dramatic, hopefully in the near future, that everyone will want to be invested in and be a part of.
That's really exciting. I can't wait. So in terms of, if we can switch gears a little bit to the stadium, since we're talking about buildings.
I do that a lot.
What's it?
Switch gears right now.
I bet constantly. I had the opportunity to go to the game in London last year and saw Tottenham Stadium, and I went on a tour thanks to the Bills of the stadium and the architects from Tottenham and the architects for the stadium, that our stadium, were discussing, like, that is the inspiration for the new stadium. And I have to say, from my perspective, the game day experience there was mind-blowingly great. So maybe you could share sort of where we are right now and explain the difference in what we think the game day experience will be for the people who didn't make it to.
Yeah, well, I think probably everyone here has been to a Bills game. The experience is incredible. I came out of New York, and just candidly, we had the Giants and the Jets in that building, and it was a little bit agnostic. It was difficult to create the kind of game day experience here. And you guys know the GM and the coach both came from Buffalo, and how do we do that here? And I said, I don't know if we can do that. It's organic, I think, what happens here. It's kind of natural. But you walk into this building, and it's clearly a home field advantage. You know, you heard the construction noise out there. We're having conversations in front of 70,000 people on the weekend, so I'm used to it. But it's... We don't want to lose that, right? You can't lose the authenticity of what Buffalo is. So the stadium has been it's been thrown around that is built for Buffalo, and it's true. Every time I walk in there and I get a tour every couple of weeks, I'll look up and the first question I'll ask the head of construction is, are you sure we can fit a football field in here? Because everything is built in a way, yes, it's close, it's straight up. It's set up in a way to make the game day experience even better. You know, the roof, which covers about 60% of the facility, is going up right now. So imagine more proximate to the field, straighter up, a roof, what that's going to do to the environment that we already have in Buffalo. So we know it's going to be a home field advantage, and it's going to be a great experience because it's a state-of-the-art facility. All the amenities are world-class. It's going to be a great experience for the fans, and we're not going to lose any of the things that make Buffalo great.
When I took the tour, they did they brought you down on the field, and they did a little sound exercise, you know, and it is going to be allowed. I mean, we're going to really have an amazing home field advantage, I think, in that. And the other thing about it I thought was so amazing is that you can actually watch the game in real time, and it sounds silly, but, you know, if you go to the stadium now, I don't have very good vision, and, you know, if you're not in the right seat, you can't see what's exactly happening. And there you're living it, and it's there's all these screens, and it's you really can watch the football game. And that, I think
yeah, we've looked at it from every angle. There's not a bad seat
yeah.
in that entire building. And then there's also a lot of kind of communal gathering spaces, other places you can see the game from. When you're in the concourses now, you can look it out of the field. It's a completely different experience to what people have now.
Yeah. What are you most excited about the move?
That's a good question. I just think having, like, this is the biggest construction project in the history of Buffalo. I think being able, having Terry and his family step up and put something like that here, and to know that it's a facility that we can all be proud of and know it stands up against any NFL stadium in the league, is a pride point. So I think that's the most exciting thing for me, to know that we have something that we can put up against any city in the country.
That's great. I can't wait. So when we talk about the Key Center and programming, I'm going back to that. I had to get Tottenham out of my head. you talk about programming. You have comedy one night. Are mm-hmm. you talking about in the actual arena itself?
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about sort of the mix that worked in Charlotte. What made that work?
Yeah, I think, look, this is what I think is really interesting about arenas in general. You know, it's such a cross-section of demographics. Anybody that lives in the Buffalo area, at some point in time, you don't have to be a hockey fan. There will be a reason to come to that arena if we bring the right types of events in. So it's an incredible advertising vehicle. I say it all the time, you know, the Bills brand is exceptional. Mm-hmm. And we have companies all the time that want to connect with that brand. If you're looking to get to consumers, the arena is a great place to do that. You know, we had over 2 million people a year coming through the stadium or the arena in Charlotte, and it was just a great place for people to gather. So it didn't really matter if it was a Hornets fan. If you weren't a Hornets fan, that's fine. There would be something coming into that building that you would be a part of, and it brought more people and different people to downtown Charlotte, and that's the goal here in Buffalo.
And you have a little bit of that with the Bandits, and I mean, the foundation's there, right?
Yeah, you just need more, but again, going back to Justin Timberlake, and then WWE, and then Sebastian Maniscalco on Saturday, three completely different demos coming to the building. How do we continue that? And we have a bunch of announcements coming up over the next couple of weeks of more events that we
secured.
You don't
want to break any news here?
Not at the moment.
All the TV stations are here.
Sean mentioned the NCAAs that's coming in 2026, but we're looking at big picture events, and not just at the arena, but at the stadium as well. I think we've been pretty public that we'd like to bring the NFL draft here. We'd love to bring the Winter Classic back to Buffalo. Like, those are the kind of things that we can bring tent pole events to show people, hey, Buffalo is an incredible market, and this is something that you should want to be a part of. This KC game on Sunday, it's not just the biggest game this weekend, it'll be the biggest game in the NFL all season. And CBS is bringing their pregame show out. They're going to be in our lots.
I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah,
as the former head of the Tourism Bureau, Patrick's probably a little nervous about it,
too. I talked to some people. I said, you better get ready for Bills Mafia, because I don't know if you're going to be in a position to handle this. But, again, it shows the visibility that we can bring to the market, whether it's through the Bills or Sabres, if we have the right events coming in.
You know, I think from my, you know, being a lifelong Bills and Sabres fan, but Bills fan foremost for me, because it's my family, grew up with that, to me it is amazing. I feel like we used to be part of this private club, you know, that was the Buffalo Bills. And then there was this time where we sort of got excited about the team, and you'd say go Bills to someone in an airport, and they'd say go Bills back, and it was like a secret code. And now everybody's wearing Bills gear, and we don't know the imposters from the real fans anymore. They're, you know, we just don't.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can't do that anymore, because people look at you like, what are you talking about, you know? So to me, that's amazing to, you know, not really be the underdog anymore. And and I think that's reflective of really the image of the city as well. I think people hear that. If you were to say, and I should ask you, what do you think is the most difference? I think if you look back 20 years ago to where we are today, I think people genuinely believe that the city's in a better place. And I say city, I mean the metro, our metro area, and that we are really looking at opportunities. The scarcity mentality we've had for so many generations of what we were going to lose if something happened, and I think Tech Hubs is a great example of that, is changing to say, no, this is blue ocean. We've got really great resources here. You know, we're a climate refuge city. Yeah. We've got great infrastructure. We've got great people. Like, let's make the most of this. It feels like everything that Terry has invested in. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, honestly, the commitment that Terry and Kim have made to our community and invested, as you said, in that building, yeah. in the arena, in the, you know, just an incredible amount of investment supporting community organizations. I mean, the Bills and Sabres combined are on that banner because you've always been in our top investors, and mm-hmm. the Bills have been an investor and the Sabres since they were formed. So it's a commitment to community mm-hmm. that Terry and Kim have really made. So
yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that. I've, you know, been a couple of different places. When I was here originally, I worked for Mr. Wilson's incredible, huge advocate for the small markets. I think he was a big yeah. reason that this team is still here. I went to Charlotte, and I'm fortunate enough to work for Michael Jordan, who's, you know, his own brand and brings something completely different to the table. And then I go to the Giants and work for John Mara, who his family were the founding fathers of the National Football League in a lot of ways. And I come back here and work for Terry and Kim and see what they've done and what they've committed. It's such a provincial market. You need an owner like that. I don't know that there's an owner more committed to a market than Terry is to Buffalo. That's a really cool thing to be a part of. And it was almost 15 years to the day when I came back, and you're right, you know, there is no secret code anymore. This Bills Mafia thing is real.
Yeah.
And the brand has grown so much since I left. It's really fun now to be able to come in and find ways to continue the growth or, you know, leverage it, you know, for the teams and for the market for us to be successful. So yeah, it's changed dramatically since I left, obviously for the better.
Well, I think both teams, I think the Sabres and the Bills really positioned Buffalo to be a bigger market than we actually are. I think it's particularly in the NFL. And, you know, I remember when we were doing a lot of advocacy and was in our advocacy agenda around the stadium and in the state's investment in the stadium, I mean, the economics of our region compared to other regions mm-hmm. in the country, we have, you know, I hate to say we have no business having a sports team, but NFL team, but that world has changed dramatically since Ralph bought the team in the 60s. Yeah. And so to be able to compete, and it would not have happened without Terry, full stop, and Kim. And I think, you know, as the president of the regional chamber and formerly the CEO of the Visitors Bureau, our brand in the national, you know, I don't know what our rank is now, Patrick would probably know, but in Metro size 54, 55, 53. Something like that, 53, we go up and mm-hmm. up and down in that. You know, that they know that brand when if I travel internationally and yeah. I get in a cab and say, where are you from? And I say, Buffalo, they know the teams. And yeah. so I think if the team had left or if Terry hadn't made that investment, I don't know what it would have done to the psyche of our community. I don't know how we would have, I'm sure we would have survived it, but it yeah. would have changed the landscape. So now we've got the flip. Now we've got, not only do we have the team, but we've got this incredible team and we've got this incredible fan base that is sort of, you know, making waves.
Yeah, when I left positive. That, you know, that Toronto talk was real. And yeah. you know, that question's been answered, you know, with complete finality, right? This team's not going anywhere now.
Yeah.
And I do agree. I think the Bills and the Sabres allow Buffalo in a lot of ways to kind of punch above its weight. You know, I go into a lot of meetings and we're talking to national, international brands and their CEOs. And when we'll walk in and have a conversation, a lot of times we'll come up and say, well, you know, Buffalo is the 53rd market in the country. And I think, look, if we're going to talk about Buffalo as the 53rd market in the country, I could just leave right now. There's no reason for us to continue this discussion because we're not. So when you put these brands together, they're regional, national, international exactly. brands. Now that the Toronto question is solved, we can leverage Toronto as a market. It's in our Bills HMA. You put Toronto and Buffalo together, it's basically Chicago. So you just have to reframe that discussion. And I think what we've been trying to do now, and I think what you're getting at too, Dot, is we should be playing offense in Buffalo.
Exactly. Like,
this is a great place to live, great place to work. There's a lot of economic development going on. There's a lot of great things that people wouldn't realize. And so sometimes you have to go out there and tell the story.
And I think that we've done, and I say we, I'm really talking about you, all have done a great job of regionalizing the team, not just to Canadians, mm-hmm. but even in Rochester. I mean, you know, the Bills are Rochester's team, and it's not just Buffalo's team. So that regionalization, I think, is real and really benefits the business community. I mean, when we talk particularly to major employers that are trying to recruit executive talent, the fact that we have that level of professional sports franchises yeah. here and the incredible cultural community that we have here and infrastructure and all the other benefits we have, you know, it is one of the reasons how we compete for even for talent. So, yeah. You know, we couldn't be happier that we've solidified.
Yeah, well,
that.
You know, I've been on the recruiting trail a little bit, and it's great telling the story. I mean, first of all, it's an incredible place to live. but they're also going to be tied into these aspirational projects. Like, how many times are you going to be involved with a stadium project
right.
like this, being tied into the long-term vision of what we want to do at the arena, you know, be behind, create the inertia for growth in a city like Buffalo? Those are once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. So the conversations I'm having with talent that we want to bring into the market, candidly, are pretty easy to have because it's all legitimate. You know, this is a place that you should want to be and want to be a part of. It's as big of a springboard for your career as any city you could be in the country. I would know. I've left. I've been in the biggest
right.
markets in the country. I think a lot of people in this room could probably relate to this. When I was talking to Terry about the opportunity, he said to me, "What do you think we're missing?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's kind of anecdotally, it's kind of hard not being there. Once I get in, I could probably get a better idea. But from the outside looking in, I think what we need is advocacy for the market." And there's, again, a lot of people I think in this room can relate to it. You know, I left and went down to Charlotte for 10 years, got recruited up in New York, spent 5 years there, and then came back. And not just came back, but wanted to come back. So, you know, those are the kind of people you need telling the story about the market.
Absolutely.
People who have been here, maybe have gone other places, seen other things, come back and can talk about what makes Buffalo great, why people should want to live here, why people should want to work here. It's a credible story to tell, and I think that really resonated with him.
Yeah, and I would, you know, at the risk of getting on an old soapbox of mine, you know, for 25 years, this community disinvested in tourism promotion, and really that is how the story of a market gets out, and all economic development starts with a visit, you know, and I think finally they've gotten a good shot in the arm this year for the first time, and I think Visit Buffalo Niagara has done an amazing job with relatively less than half of what our competing mm-hmm. cities have had for all these years, and that, you know, thank goodness that we have these other drivers that we can hitch our wagon to, but we have to tell that story and we have to compete. You know, I always say, you know, one of our big, you know, when we compete with other folks, we say, yeah, you know, houses here are cheap and our labor costs are low, and neither of those things are true anymore, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at least not what they were. So, you know, the bad news, we have to compete. The good news is we're competing,
yeah.
right? So all of these things come together, and I think the tech hub thing is no joke in the sense that this could be a driver to actually increase population, which we also need. So it's a really exciting time to be, you know, a grown up here and to be able to see some of these things come to fruition.
Yeah, we just want to play a part in that. You know, I think we can control what we can control. And like I said, Terry's making incredible investments across the board. The stadium project, we're creating that facility, obviously, for the Bills first, and we have to be the home field advantage. We all have the same goal for that team. But we didn't build it so it's open for 10 days a year.
Right.
You know, we're going out there and looking at other events that we can bring into that property and try to program it as widely as we possibly can. And then we're going to, you know, turn our attention to the entire campus. And how do you create a destination that people are going to want to come to and be a part of? And again, the same philosophy here. So covering the suburbs through the stadium, making sure downtown Buffalo with the arena is as active as humanly possible, just kind of looking at it, both of those properties through that lens. It's fun that one of the projects is already way down the road, but also you can kind of put your stamp on the other project because we're in the initial phases
yeah.
of that. But ultimately the goal for both are the same, to make them as active as possible.
Well, I mean, to some degree, I think the arena maybe, and I don't want to say more critical, but it's as critical because of the nature of downtowns in the United States post-COVID. And you know, the strategy to make sure that you're creating live, work, play in a space, in a time, and create a space where people want to be, that is the anchor tenant,
yeah.
right, of downtown is the arena. So we're thrilled to be proximate to it and to be a part of the energy that that you all are going to bring.
Yeah, I would agree with that characterization. I mean, I think it is more critical. So they're both really important. And obviously we talked about the strength of the Bills brand and what we want to do with that stadium. But, you know, the arena here and the Sabres, that's the foundational aspect of how I think we can grow in
yeah.
Buffalo and contribute. And there's a lot of people in this room I've already talked to. I think we've already been on record. You know, we've talked to everybody who even has any parcel of land around that building. Like, how can we partner? How can we help? You know, how do we make it more vibrant area down there? So we're taking a big picture view to
yeah.
that building. And we know if we can take care of business on our side, that's going to benefit Buffalo.
It's critical for downtown. I think, you know, I just is, because we're not going to get a lot of shots at creating demand drivers down there. So we're glad to be a part of
it. Yeah,
there's
a lot of pieces in place already, which it's exciting to start from there.
So if you were to look at, as we sort of close this up, what if any barriers do you see, things that potentially we could help with at the partnership, or that the community should be thinking or doing to sort of achieve that vision? Is there anything that needs to get, you know, needs to get changed?
I think it's just alignment and you know, advocacy. I think it's everyone kind of understanding, being of the same mindset that this has to happen, that we need to do what we need to do in that building to make it successful and draw people into downtown, and how do we all work together to do that? And then again, it's being advocates for it, understanding that that's going to be the foundational aspect of how we grow. So it's just, to me, it's just getting everybody on the same page. I don't know that it's fallen down, might be the wrong word, but we need to follow through on the things that we're talking about doing. There's been a lot of things that have been kicked around. It was great. The hotel went up. The Harbor Center is incredible. Now it's time, you know, to tie all those pieces together with the arena and the Cobblestone District and look at all those properties around there and finally make a big push to get it done and put a plan in place to do it.
Well, you know, the pandemic really screwed everything up for everybody. Yeah. So I think we're this is the first year where I really feel like this is the new normal. I mean, I think we certainly want to rebuild bringing people back to work. And we heard that from a lot of employers. They're concerned about, you know, it's fine, you can do remote work, but how do you build a culture in an organization? How do you groom people to move up in an organization? And it's all going to come down to creating places that people want to be. And so I think what you're doing is going to be critical to that. So
yeah, we hope they want to be downtown around the arena, just like you.
Exactly, exactly. Well, that's what we're going to make happen. But Pete, I so appreciate it. First of all, I was so relieved when you were named to your role. I was like, oh, a Buffalo guy coming. This is awesome. So we're thrilled to have you in the community. You understand the community and really want to make it better. And I appreciate you really being here with us and for all your support that you've shown since you've been here and what we can count on in the future. So
thank you. I'm excited. You. Couldn't be more excited to be back.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you to everybody who came. Appreciate it.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.